All right, Rabbi Say, good morning. Let's begin. Baruch Hashem, we have a number of sponsors this morning. We have a monthly Talmud Torah sponsor and the Zchus of a Refuah Shlema for Tzimer HaLevi, Ben Sarleh. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, he will have the complete and enduring Refuah together with Kol Chole Yisrael. We also have a sponsor for a week of learning, an anonymous sponsor, a Refuah Shlema for Shulamis Bas Susha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she, together with Kol Chole Yisrael, have a complete and enduring refuah. And we thank the Schwartzbaum family for dedicating the shir this morning in commemoration of the yahrzeit of Fega Bas Shmuel, Zichron Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Nesham will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. And I'll say with that, let's begin. Today's daf is Lamed Hey. We are picking up on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis 34b. Mamish the last line. Just three words left on line. I'm Rabbi. So again, just to reorient ourselves for a moment, we left off yesterday, and actually, the Gemara kind of concluded it. I should have actually just done this piece yesterday, because it's really a direct continuation of what we had learned. But remember, again, the Gemara discussed the idea that if a person intentionally injures their Bechor, so the halacha is that what? There is a knas, there's a penalty. Well, there's a machlokas what the penalty is. Is the penalty that you can never eat the animal? Is the penalty ultimately, again, that if the animal develops a secondary mum? So we saw that's how we paskin, that once the animal develops a secondary mum, ultimately, again, the animal becomes permitted for consumption. The shaila the Gemara had is, what happens if Yaakov goes ahead and intentionally injures his Bechor, and then what happens? He dies. His son then inherits the Bechor. What's the status of the Bechor vis-a-vis the son? So remember again, about say, how did we phrase the machlokas? We phrase the machlokas as, is the din, or is the knas a din in the gavra, or is it a din in the cheftza? Is it a din? Is the knas ultimately, again, in the object, in which case, even when Reuven inherits it, he still is precluded from using it until it develops another mum? Or no, is this a knas ultimately against Yaakov? And once Yaakov dies, the knas is no longer there. So the Gemara ended off, we can actually look at the last line, the Gemara says, Amal l'didei kansurabanan l'brei lo kansurabanan. We'll say that indeed was the conclusion of the Gemara, that halacha l'maisa, when Chazal imposed the knas was on the violator, was it din in the gavra, not a din in the cheftza, and therefore when the son inherits the intentionally maimed Bechor, he is permitted to go ahead and utilize it immediately. Says the Imam Rabbayis. Rabbayis says, Naktinon, we also learn this concept elsewhere, top of Lamed Hem and Aleph. Timei Taras, well, this is actually a very interesting case. So let's say, Reuven and Shimon get into a fight. And Reuven decides, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be metame all of Shimon's taras, right? Let's say Shimon's a Kohen, Shimon has truma, and Reuven goes ahead and drops a sheretz, right, into Shimon's truma. And then what happens? Then Reuven dies, so Reuven the perpetrator, right? Reuven the metame ultimately goes ahead and dies. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Look at Rashi for just a moment. So we'll say, the halacha is, if I go ahead and I am metame someone's taras, I have to pay. Right? I have to pay. Now we'll discuss why I have to pay. Watch this. So Bas says, Halacha l'maisa, Reuven was metame Shimon's taras. Then what happens? Reuven dies. So what's the shaila? The shaila is also, you know, when a man dies, his estate, his children inherit his debts. Right? So again, a father dies, the sons have an obligation to pay off the debts of their father. So what about in this case over here? Reuven was metame the taras of Shimon. Reuven dies. So now what does Reuven's son have an obligation to pay off the knas? To which the Gemara says, Lo kansu b'no acharav. The halach is no. The son does not have an obligation to go ahead and pay off the knas of his father Reuven. My taima. So Gemara says, Hezek she'eno nikar lo shmei hezek. Knasa dirabanon. Lididei kansu rabanon. Librela Kansuan. So this is actually quite fascinating. There's two parts to this discussion. Number one, we'll say, why is it that when Reuven is metame the taras of Shimon, so Reuven is chayiv. We'll say there's a novelty in that. What's the novelty in that? When Reuven is metame those taras, what has he done? What has he done? Externally, right? Visibly, what has he done? Nothing. That's called hezek she'eno nikar. Unrecognizable damage, I will say, in the eyes of halacha on a daraisa level, is not hezek, right? If I key my initials into your car door, that's hezek. I slash your tires, that's hezek. I go ahead and chop down the tree on your front yard, that's hezek, right? But to go ahead and do something that changes the status without any kind of recognizable damage, ultimately, again, that is not hezek. Now, midrabanan, we kenas you, right? Midrabanan, we come along and we say that, no, you're going to have to pay, but it's a rabbinic penalty. And both say the rabbinic penalty makes a lot of sense. Why? Because we don't want people being mitame, their friends' taras, or their enemies' taras, for that matter, right? We don't want you doing these things to people. So both say, so what do you see from here? It's a kenas. The fact that Reuven asked the Shimon at the beginning is a kenas. And what do you see? A kenas is on the gavra, not on the cheftza. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, once the gavra dies, once ultimately, again, Reuven dies in this particular situation, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, the kenas does not pass down to his children. So we'll say, that is indeed the halacha lemaisa. Kenas is a din on the gavra, not a din on the cheftza. And therefore, again, when the gavra dies, the kenas goes with him to the grave, says the Mishnah. We'll say, you know, there is an interesting discussion in the Rishonim that although there is no obligation on the Yershim to pay off the kenas of their father, is there like some type of midas chasidus? You know, it's a very important concept of paying off the debts of someone who passed away. Right? Chazal teaches that the neshama does not have true menucha until its debts are paid off. So it's an interesting discussion about whether or not does this, even though kenas, the yarshim do not have to pay, is there some type of lifnim mishuras hadin midas chasidus to pay off even the kenas debts? Okay. Discussion. Says the Mishnah, Bosa, here we go. It's great cases. Listen to this, it's a Maisa. It's actually, by the way, you don't find this so often where a story is recorded in a Mishnah. See, here's a Maisa. It's Mishnaic story time. So listen to this. There was an old goat, right? Usara Meduldal. It was so old that what happened? It had long wool. And the wool became knotted, right? It had not been shorn. V'ra'o kastor echad. And there was a kastor. Kastor, Rashi says over here, is mamuna, a Roman official, some Roman guy, saw it. V'amar, and he said to the Jewish owner, V'amar, mativo shelzeh, what's up with your goat? Right? In other words, right, what's up with your sheep? In other words, why does it look so unkempt? So amar lo b'charu. So the owner said, listen, it's a b'char. And this animal cannot be shechted unless it develops a mum. So he's saying, I can't really. And remember again, a bechor is aser begiza ba'avoda, right? So I can't do anything with it, and I can't shecht unless it develops a mum. Not al pigum etzara mazno. What? So what did the Yakum do? Right? What did the Kazer do? He took a spear and he cut the ear of the animal, giving it a mum. All right, and this episode they brought this for a din Torah. So, what do we do with this? V'hetiru, and the rabbis at the basin said it's okay. This is considered how the animal developed a mum. Now, the pashtus, why? Because the akum did this on his own. He did this on his own. So because he did it on his own, ultimately again, it's a mum. Listen to this. So the Gemara says, "Va'acher she'etiru halach v'tzirei oznei b'choros acherim." Now, afterwards, what happened? So apparently, this kazdar became a very popular man, right? And he starts cutting the ears of b'chor animals right, left, and center. I'll say after that, asru. Then the Beis Din came along and said, "I'm sorry, this is going to be asur." Rashi says, "V'hetiru share'in lomar she'ovid kochavim hazeh la'hatiru niskavim share'in yodeh she'idei mum she'asebo yishach." So we'll say, so interesting enough, the reason why they were martyred is because we assume that the Akum just did this of his own volition. He did this of his own volition. So because he did it of his own volition, at the end of the day, the animal now has a mum. We'll say, now that the animal has a mum, you're permitted to shecht it. Once already there's an element of premeditation, that's when Chazal came in and said, you can't do this. We'll say another story. So the Gemara says, Pam achas hayu tinokos misachakin basada. So one time kids were playing outside. First of all, this is amazing, right? Children used to play outside, right? So for a time, there was a time, right? And there were no screens, apparently. There was nothing, right? They were just playing outside. I will say, listen to this old, you know, children's pastime. The kashru znave telaim zebazeh. They tied the tails of sheep together. The good old days, right? Right. So the Gemara says, what happens? Now, what happens? Well, says, what happens when you tie the tails of the sheep together? They run in different directions. The nifsekas navo shel echad, and one of the sheep lost its tail in this game. Vaharihu bechor. They will say, interestingly enough, the sheep that lost its tail was a bechor. Was a bechor. So you have a bechor bal mum. So we'll say, so same idea. So this episode came before the Chacham. The Chacham said, okay, it's a Bechor, it has a Mum, it's permitted to Shecht it. Roshe Tiro, so we'll say these were smart kids. So they saw ultimately, again, that their little game resulted in the permissibility to Shecht about a Bechor, and what happens? Halchu v'kashruz navos Bechoros achirim v'asru. So we'll say, so what happened? They started doing this more often, started going in fields. You know, some kids sell lemonade, right? And some kids, you know, go ahead and tie sheep tails together. But the point is, they kept doing this. And I will say, after this became in common practice, asru. So Chazal, the Beis Din in question asered it. To which the Mishnah says, Zeh klal koshu ledaito asr, shalo ledaito mutter. So I'll say, ultimately, again, essentially what the Mishnah says is, any time you see an element ultimately of premeditation, Rashi says, Koshu Ladas Shalahatil Mum Niskavin Lahatiro. Anytime you see an element ultimately again of premeditation in something, so then the mum will not permit the animal. Anytime that it's premeditated, it's considered to be bekavono. If it's bekavono, as we already learned, that's not the kind of mum that is matir. Anytime that it appears unsolicited, right, more happenstance, ultimately, again, such a mum will be permitted. So the Gemara says, Pamacheres hayu utzuicha. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara says, both cases are kind of the same, right? The Akum case and the Kid case are both kind of the same. So why do I need two cases? Meaning, we'll say, the idea is, if somebody happens to make a mum in the animal accidentally, then Allah says, such a mum is matter the animal for Shechita. If there's any element of coordination or premeditation, then ultimately the mum does not permit the animal. Why do I need two cases to essentially highlight the same idea? Tzicha, the Gemara says, you need both cases. I'll tell you why. Because if you would have just told me the case of Ovid Kochavim, the law asi lemisrach. Because I don't assume the Ovid Kochavim is going to become a custom, is going to become regular at doing this. Ava katan da asi lemisrach. But a katan who could easily become habituated, right, to doing this kind of thing, I would have thought maybe the first time we should not permit the animal. Or maybe again I permit in the case of katan because I'm not going to confuse a katan or with an adult. But Ovid Kochavim, where you could think ultimately if the same thing happened with a Jew, that you would permit it as well. I would say therefore the animal should not be permitted. Therefore tzvicha. So we'll say the idea is each of the two cases of katan and akum each bring their own novelties and therefore have to both be written. Amrav Chista, Amrav Katina. Lo Shanu Ella, watch this. So Rabbi said, Rav Chista comes along in Amrav Katina and makes a very interesting discussion, focusing much more on the first case with the Akum. Lo Shanu Ella, when do we say that if the Akum injures the animal will be permitted for Shechita? Ella, the Amr Le Ella Imkein Haya Bomum. Aval Amr Le Inase Bomum. Rabbi said, this is actually very interesting. So Rav Katina says like this. The Akum case only works, remember, if the Akum says, hey, what's up with your sheep, right? And I say, well, I can only shecht it im haya b'mum, if there was a mum on it. Then if the Akum goes ahead and does something to it, makes a mum, I could shecht it. But if I were to use the lashon of im nase b'mum, the only way I could shecht it is if it becomes injured. Then I both say, what does that sound like? That sounds like I am soliciting his services, right? That sounds like ultimately, again, I'm telling him, wink, wink, you know, boy, it would be so nice if somebody put a mum on this animal. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava said, Michti, Memelahu, Mali Haya Mali Naase. Rava says, no, that's not this case. This case, I will say, is a case of a conversation. What does it matter if the Yisrael says, if there was a mum, or if someone makes a mum? Or I should say, what's the difference between saying if there is a mum or if a mum happens to the animal. So the Gemara says, Ella na'asa nami mamelehu veloshna. So Bosa, therefore, Rava comes along and says, no, we don't start sparsing words like that. At the end of the day, as long as we feel that contextually, right, that situationally, it is clear that the Yisra was not trying to solicit the services of the Akum to make a mum, then halacha l'maisa, when the Akum does it, we assume he does it of his own volition, and therefore the animal will be permitted as a result of that mum. So the Gemara goes right there. Zakal koshul das aser. So we'll say ultimately when we say koshul das, anything that was clearly done with intention does not render the animal permitted. What does that come to include? La suye grama. Both had this in yesterday's daf. It includes ultimately cases of causation as well. So remember again, for example, if you were to go ahead and place dough on the ear of the animal, and as a result of that, another animal would come along and bite the first, ultimately, and go ahead and cause a mum, halacha l'maisa, that would be aser as well. Shalol l'das, so what does shalol l'das come to include? La'asuye l'masiach l'fi tumo. Someone above said, listen to this, look at Rashi, masiach l'fi tumo. Masiach l'fi tumo also means someone who speaks of their own or on their own volition. Rashi says, she'im sha'alam kazdar mativo. Elahein atzman masich and lefi tuman va'omrim rei lo yishchod zeli olam. Ela al yedei mum v'lo neskavdu l'kach shatulam. Let's listen to this. See, the case in the Mishnah is where the Akum started the conversation. What the Gemara now suggests is even if it's the Yisrael who went ahead and started the conversation, boy, it is so embarrassing to walk around with this unkempt goat, right? But what am I going to do? I can't shecht it until it develops some mum. So we'll say, so ultimately the Gemara says, such a case, and if the Akum were then to go ahead and pierce the ear of the animal, so even in that case, we would assume the animal is permitted for shechita, because we don't, masiach lefi tuma means the Yisrael is just speaking freely. We don't see it as an invitation for the Akum to do something. Ultimately, in that case, halacha l'maaseh, the animal will be permitted as well. So I'll say, so listen to this. It's actually very important. So the Shulchan Aruch, how do you pass halacha l'maaseh? Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Im oved kochavim otinuk. This is in Hilchos Bechar Behema Torah, Shin Yud Gimel Sif Beis in Yardaya. Im oved kochavim otinuk matzil bo mome atzmo. Let's say, if an akum or a tinuk or a child makes a mum in the Bechar on their own, im lo kivim lahatiro, if at the end of the day their kavana was not to go ahead and be matter the animal, or their kavana was not to allow for shechita, mutter, then ultimately again the animal would be permitted. Afilu im shal lame in shochten also veheishiv lo lefi tumosha asr l'shachto atshipa bomum avalim kivin lahatiro kegon la'acha shor shetirai dekach osim kain la'achirim asr. So we'll say sahaloch l'maisa. Shulchan Aruch adopts this approach, which is, if it's clear that the Akum just did this on his own without being solicited, then halacha l'maisa, the animal will be permitted. If we have a chashash that perhaps ultimately what? That the Akum felt, or the Akum was solicited, or the Yisrael actively engaged him, or either the Akum or the Katan, then halacha l'maisa, the animal will be mutter. It seems to be the way that the Gemara feels that you could tell, the way that you could tell that the Akum is being solicited is if he keeps doing this. Right? If he does 5 bechars in a day, then okay, that's a pretty good indication that something is up. But if l'maisa said this is a one-off thing, and the Yisrael never directly asked the Akum for anything, the animal will be permitted as a result of its mum. Good. Mishnah. Rabbo say another. These are all incredible cases. Haya bechar rotvo. Rabbo say this is wild. A bechar animal was running after me. Right? Running after me. Right? To hurt me. Right? The bechar is charging me. So what happens? So ba'ato, I kick the animal. Right? To stop it from hurting me. And what happens? And as a result, va'asa ba'mum. As a result of me kicking the animal, I make a mum in the animal. What's the halacha? Hareze shochtin alav. Ultimately, again, I am permitted to shech the animal based on that mum. So we'll say, so the novelty over here is what? The novelty is I made the mum, but I didn't make it with the intention ultimately to go ahead and what? To go ahead and permit the animal for shechita, but rather I made the mum for what purpose? To save myself. So therefore, because this was not a mum that was inflicted with kavana, therefore Allah Khalamaisa, I could check the animal based on the mum. Both say now this is wild. Amna Papa, Lo Shanu Elisha Ba'ato Bishas Ridifa. So Rav Papa says, when do we say that if you kick it and make a mum, then all becomes permitted? That's only when you kick it and it's chasing you. Papa says, listen to this. Avala achar adifa. Papa says, let's say the Bachar goes ahead and calms down, stops charging me. And I go over and I kick it. Now, Papa says, now watch this. Avala achar adifa lo. But if I kick the animal after it's charged me and I make a mum, I can't shech based on it. Which the Gemara says, first of all, the Bachar says, I'm going to have pshita. So isn't that obvious? Well, so isn't how profound this is. Ma'u detema tsarehu demitkar. So I will say, why would I think that if I go over to the animal after it chases me and I kick it and I make a mum, that mum would ultimately permit the animal? I will say, you know why? It is Bachar chasing PTSD. Right? I might have thought, Bosa is actually a very profound yisod. I might have thought that afterwards, when I see that animal, I remember the danger I was in, I feel the anxiety, and therefore I go ahead and I kick the animal as a result of that anxiety. That's all considered to be part of the parasha, ultimately, of the animal chasing me. Kamash Malam, that there is no PTSD from being chased by a Bachar, and therefore halacha lemaisa, if you kick it after it goes ahead and chases you, then you are considered to have inflicted an intentional mum, and therefore again cannot check the animal based on that. So the Gemara says, "Igad." I will say there's an alternate version of this discussion. Amra papa lotem b'shas redifa in avalo b'shas redifa lo ela afilu la'achar redifa nami. My taima sarehu demitkar. So Rav said, listen to this. In this alternate version, it's the exact opposite. Rav Papa says that halacha lemaisa, not only is it okay if you end up injuring the animal when it's pursuing you, but even halacha lemaisa, after the pursuit is done and you see the animal and it brings up feelings of fear, of tsar, of anxiety in you, and you kick the animal as a result of that, and you cause a mum, halacha lemaisa, you could shecht based on that mum as well. So Rav said, two exact opposite versions as to how this works. We'll see the halacha in just a little bit. I'm Rav Yehuda. Mutra lahatil. So let me just tell you this. Shulchan Aruch Rav say, by the way, is actually, to me, this is a fascinating machlokas, because essentially what Chazal are talking about, what they're really debating over here, is, all kidding aside, is the impact of traumatic circumstances even when the circumstance ends. Okay, where I'm making it a bit jocular in terms of the PTSD. But the shaila really is over here, do we assume that traumatic events, I don't know, I would venture to say most of us have not been charged by an angry animal. Is that a safe assumption? Right, okay, good. I think I'm the closest one. I'm in the rabbinate, right? So I'm like the closest, right? So at the end of the day, so what Chazal are really arguing about over here is halacha lemaisa, is there some type of trauma even after the event is over? As well, so listen to this. So Shulchan Aruch Paskin, this is again in Shin Yud Gimel Sif Dalid, Haya HaBachar Rotfo, if the Bachar was running after me, Uba'at Bo, I kicked it, Va'al Yidei Kein Na'aseh Bo, Mum Mutar L'Shachto. Fine, well, so that's the first halacha. If I injure it while it's running after me to save myself, I can check the based on that mum. Va'afilu ba'at bo la'achar shenitzol mimenu. And Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that even if you kick it after you are saved from it, ultimately again, you are permitted to go ahead and shecht based on that mum. Meaning that halacha l'maisa, we assume that the reason you kick it even after it charges you is because of the trauma of that event. And therefore, again, that's not considered to be being matil mum bekavana, and therefore you get shecht. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't discuss it, and I didn't look it up, but I'm sure the commentaries point out there has to be some window in that, right? In other words, I go over a year later to kick the Bachar. You remember when you know? I can't imagine that's permitted, but assuming that there's some type of proximity or immediacy, it'd be permitted. So the Gemara goes vaita. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Mutzahat l'mum b'bachar kodim sheitzi l'avrilam. We'll say fascinating halacha. You are permitted to go ahead and inflict a mum on a Bachar before it comes into the world. Now, Bo said, now what's going on over here? Look at Rashi. Rashi's right across. Kodim sheyetze la'avir ha'olam. Tebechor in a kodesh ad she'te kadsho rechem. So we'll say, ultimately, again, So the Bechar really is only Kaddish ultimately after it comes out, we're going to see. So the Gemara says over here, if you were to go ahead and injure it while it's still inside of the womb, technically speaking, you could ultimately permit it from its birth. So the Gemara says, so Amarava, Gadya Ba'odne, Imra Bisvase. So Rava just says, for example, you would go ahead and injure a Gedi by cutting its ear, and a sheep in its lip, Rashi says, Gadya Ba'odne, Gedi Aznav Aruchos, Vekodim Shiyatza Korosho, Nira Aznav. So apparently when the Gedi comes out, it has longer ears, and the ears emerge first. So you could reach in, injure the ears, and the animal comes out as a Balmum. Ika da Amri, Imra Nami, but others say you could injure a sheep in its ears as well. Amr Derech Tzedda of Nafak. That would ultimately be a case where the Gedi was coming out sideways. Amar Rava, Acha Volomichzi. So we'll listen to this. Rava now discusses general mumen. If when an animal eats, let's say we're talking about a mum inside in the mouth. If when the animal eats, the mum is not visible, but Payomichzi, but when the animal yells. I don't know if that's the soik, right? When the animal yells, brays, whatever the right umbekse, and then the mum is visible. Havi muma. So we'll say this is actually interesting. In other words, the only type of mum that goes ahead and allows for shchita is a mum galui, right? An observable mum. So what it's saying over here is, if the animal eats, you can see the mum, but when it cries out, you can see the mum. That's considered to be a mum galui. My kamashon, what's the chiddush? Tanina, we learned this. Hachutin achitzonos. The outer gums, shenifkamu v'shenigmamu, right? If the outer gums of the animal ultimately, again, were injured or were receding, hapnimios, or the inner gums, shenekru, that were detached, the Gemara says, ultimately, is going to be a mum that allows for shechita of the animal. My time, what's the reason? Isn't it because that when the animal cries out, these mumen become visible? The truth is, you're right. Rava is not coming to add anything new. Rather, he's coming to explain the reasoning of the Mishnah. Why is it that ultimately, again, if it was detached, the gums were detached, it's a mum? Because Allah, even though this mum might not be visible when the animal is eating, since it is visible when the animal is crying out, that's enough. That's enough. That meets the criteria to be a mum galui. Beautiful, says the Mishnah. Kalamumin haru'iyin lava bidei adam. Suppose this is an interesting case. Anytime, so let's say you have a following situation. You have a mum, animal shows up with a mum. So there are different types of mumen. Some mumen will be what we call naturally occurring mumen. Other times, an animal presents with a mum, and this mum could have been inflicted by a person. It could have been inflicted by a person. So what happens in the following situation? Kalamumin haru'uyin lavo bidei adam. So we'll say if an animal presents with a mum that could have been inflicted by a person, so roe yisrael ne'emanin. So we're going to have to define these terms, but it sounds like roe yisrael, a yisrael shepherd, is believed, although we're going to define these terms in the Gemara. Roem kohanim einan ne'emanin. But ultimately, again, the shepherds of kohanim are not believed. We'll see what that means. Rabbi Shimon Yalomer, ne'eman hu al shel chaver, ve ne'eman hu avenein, and ne'eman ashel atzmo. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, I am believed, I am ne'eman regarding someone else's animal, but I'm not believed what? Regarding my own. Rabbi Meir Omer, hachoshed al adavar lo dona v'lo me'ido. Anyone who is chashed, who is suspect about anything, is not permitted to be a judge, to adjudicate in such a case, and of course is not permitted to go ahead and testify. Let's see what all of this means. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. So we'll say, first order of business is, what's Roi Yisrael and what's Roi Kohanim? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, Chad Amar, Roi Yisrael Be Kohanim Ne'emanim. Both listen to this. So first, one opinion says like this. It means Roi Yisrael Be Kohanim. It means with the shepherd is a Yisrael, but he's working for a Kohen. He's working for a Kohen. So if the shepherd is a Yisrael, he's working for a Kohen, and what happens? The animal shows up, and the shepherd says, this was not an inflicted mum. This mum happened by itself. He is believed. Why? Because l'legima lo chai shinan. See, Rabbi say, what would be the Yisrael's incentive to lie? Why would we assume he would lie? What does he get out of it? Well, remember, he does get something out of it, because if the Bechar develops a mum and can then be shechted, we pass him that what? that anyone is permitted, Yisrael is permitted to eat from the Bechar, so maybe he wants a good dinner. He knows that if he says it's permitted, the Kohen is going to shecht it and they're going to have a delicious dinner. We're not choshesh for that. Roi Karna be Yisrael in Ne'eman. Rabbi will say, if the shepherd is a Kohen, and the Kohen shepherd is working for Yisrael, and he comes along and testifies about the mum, we do not believe him. Why? Neymar Aver Kevan de Katarachna be Lo Shavik Lididi V'yayiv Lachrini. Because Rabbi will say, what happens? The Kohen shepherd thinks to himself, I'm going to get this Bechar, right? I mean, at the end of the day, I work for this Yisrael. He's not going to go ahead and give this Bechar animal to someone else. He's going to give it to me. So because that the Kohen has a vested interest in lying, I, v'hu adin, Kohen l'Kohen. And Abbas said the same thing would be if it was a Kohen shepherd working for a Kohen, right, owner, t'chashin l'gomen. Abbas said in that case, we are concerned for reciprocity or for collusion between the Kohanim. Rav Shimon Gamliel comes along to say, says that in general, a person is believed regarding someone else's property or regarding someone else's bechar, but not regarding his own. Rabbi Meir comes along and says, Meir says, listen, if you're chashed for something, then ultimately what? You are not believed to go ahead and you are not believed to be a judge or to be a witness regarding that matter. The Chad Amar, what Rabbi Meir is saying to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, if you're going to tell me that I am not believed regarding my Bechar, but I'm believed regarding someone else's Bechar, it doesn't work that way. If you do not possess personal credibility, then what? You cannot be a witness or a judge for that matter regarding someone else. So if it's really true that people are not believed regarding their own Bechar animals, then you cannot become a judge or a witness for someone else's Bechar. The Chadam, we'll say the other opinion says, Roi Yisrael vehin Kohanim Ne'amanim. We'll say the other opinion says, no, what it means is like this. If you have shepherds who work for Yisrael, but the shepherds themselves are Kohanim, they are believed. Why? Amad Beis, Meimar Amar. Because ultimately, again, the Kohen shepherd says to himself, I'm not going to get the animal. Why? Lo shavik tura me'rabana v'yoyev, v'yoyev lididi. Because the Kohen says, look, Rabbi, you know, even in the realm of Kohanim, not all Kohanim are created equal. Right? There are Kohanim who are Amaratzim, there are Kohanim who are Tamidi Chachamim. So the shepherd says, listen, I'm a Kohen, but I'm an Amaretz. I'm an Amaretz. Right? Therefore, again, I'm sure that the owner of this animal is going to end up giving this Bechar animal to a Kohen Tamid Chacham, not to me. Therefore, the Kohen shepherd has no reason to lie. The Gemara says, Roi Kohane Vehen Yisrael. But if you have shepherds, right, Yisrael shepherds who work for Kohanim, Einon Ne'emanim, we ultimately, again, are not, they are not believed. Why? Chayshin L'Legima. Because Rabbi says, since the Yisrael shepherd knows, that's what? That if the animal develops a mum, the Kohen is permitted to shecht it. Once he's permitted to shecht it, the Yisrael is permitted to partake of it. We're choshish that ultimately what? We're choshish that halacha l'maisa, the Yisrael shepherd is going to lie. The choshikin, Kohen l'Kohen d'chayshinon, the gomun d'chayshinon l'ligimon. Rabbi says, all the more so, we would not trust a Kohen shepherd who works for a Kohen for two reasons. Number one, because the Kohen might have a vested interest in lying so he can eat from this Bechar as well. And we're also choshish for some type of reciprocity, for some type of collusion. Shimon comes along and says that in general, a person is believed legabe someone else's Bechar, but not regarding his own Bechar. And then what happens? Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Shimon, if that's true, you have a big problem. Once you say that a person does not possess personal credibility, then ultimately they do not possess credibility vis-a-vis the other as well. Says the Gemara, let's answer. So I'll say two different approaches of the Mishnah. So it's according to the opinion who says that Roi Yisrael Vehin Kohanim, that I will say if you have Kohanic shepherds who work for Yisrael, that they, those Kohanic shepherds are believed to say the animal developed mum on its own. Haynu da'aser Rabbi Meir lemeimar, ha'choshed ala davar lo dona v'lo me'ido. Then I will say, I understand why Rabbi Meir comes along and says, anyone who is suspect regarding a particular matter cannot judge, cannot adjudicate, and cannot testify. What Rabbi Meir is saying, Abbo says, in general, Kohanim lack credibility when it comes to Bechar. Abbo says that, remember again, this is one of these fascinating halachic realities. Although Kohanim are generally considered to be such zrizin in general, and so trust, when it comes to Bechar, Bechar is their Achilles heel, right? Bechar is their weakness. They do not possess Ne'emanus. So Rabbi Meir is coming along and saying that a Kohanic shepherd who works for Yisrael is not believed. But I will say, ultimately, again, the one who says that it's Rekhan Be Yisrael in the Emanin, that they're not believed, my Asher Meir Lashmin, and they will say, what is Rabbi Meir? Remember again, if you go with the opinion that says that indeed Kohanic shepherds who work for Yisrael are not believed, my Asher Rabbi Meir Lashmin, right? What is Rabbi Meir coming to add? Hainu Tanakama. Rabbi Meir is effectively saying the same thing as the Tanakama. Both are saying that in Achinami, if you have a Kohen shepherd who works for a Yisrael owner, the Kohen is not believed to testify regarding the animal. To which the Gemara says, Ika Benayu Rabbi Yeshua ben Kafusoi. So I'll say, here's the Nafkamina between Rabbi Meir and the Tanakama, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kafusoi. The Sanya, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kafusoi, Omer, Bechar Be Kohen. Well, so listen to this. Rabbi Yoshua ben Kapusai says that if there is a Bechar from a Kohanic household, you require what? Two independent witnesses from the Shuk to go ahead and testify about that animal. So look at Rashi. Tzarech shnayim min ha-shuk, shnayim kol shehin, v'afilo kohanim, ava kohanim shebebeso lo. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Kapusai says that if you have a Kohanic Bechar, and it develops a mum, two independent people, right? The idea is you need independent testimony. The independent witnesses can be Kohanim also, but they just can't be Kohanim of the same household. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Afilu Bino Ubito. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Halacha Lamaisa, even one's own children are permitted to go ahead and what? And testify regarding their father's Bechar. So let's go back up to Rashi just a moment. Tzarech Shnayim Min Ashuk. Tanakama is laid Rabbi Yoshua ben Kapusai. So the Tanakama holds the Rabbi Yoshua ben Kapusai, the Kamar Tanakama, Roy Kohanim, Bain. So let's see. So we'll see this in the Gemara. So we'll say, therefore, the Gemara suggests that the position of Rabbi Yoshua ben Kapusai is the nafkamina between the Tanakama, ultimately again, and Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, now we have Machlokis, Rabbi Yoshua ben Kapusai, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Yossi says, Afilu Asara. Rabbi Yossi says, anyone who is a part of the Kohen's household is not permitted to testify regarding the Bechar. That Allah said they are not believed. So, Kiman Azla Havdam Rav Chista Amar Rav Katina, so we'll say, in accordance with whose opinion was the following statement made? Safek Bechar, Shenolad Be Yisra. We'll say if you have a Safek Bechar, what's the simplest case of Safek Bechar? An animal gives birth to twins, right? This is her first birth, right? The Rachel, the sheep gives birth to twins. And they will say, what? We don't, obviously one of them was born first, but we don't know which one. That's the case of Safek Bechar. So what happens? So Tzarech Shnayim Min Ashuk L'Ha'id Alav, you require ultimately two witnesses from the Shuk to testify about which one is Bechar. Look at Rashi. It's the last of the intermediate lines in Rashi. So we'll say, so the case over here is that what occurred? So we'll say, so two animals are born. Suffolk, which one is the Bechar? One of them, then what happens? One of them develops a mum. So you require two from the Shuk to testify that the mum was not inflicted, but rather the mum occurred on its own. So whose opinion does this reflect? Kiman. Rabbi Yoshua ben Kapusai. But say this would seem to reflect the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua ben Kapusai, who says that in general, when it comes to a Bechar be Kohen, you need two from the Shuk to testify about it. So Rav Nachman says, Bailim mi'idin alov. So Rav Nachman says, even the owners can testify about a Bechar. Di'ilo te'imahachi, because if you don't say this, Maiser the Rabbi Meir mi me'id alov. Then according to Rabbi Meir, ultimately again, who could be Meyed Lagabi Meiser Behema? Then I will say, now what does this mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, The Maisa Bemeir Mi Meyed Alav. So we'll say it's just Yedasa because of time. Who's ultimately again? Who is going to be believed to be made about a Maisa Behema animal which develops a mum? To which the Gemara says Maisa is not a good example. Maisa Vaden. So everybody agrees when it comes to Maisa Behema that even the owner is believed in terms of the mum. Why? We'll say, listen to this. If the owner wanted Abosai, what could he do before he goes ahead and has the animals come out of the pen? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He could inflict a mum actively upon all of the animals in the pen. And if he wanted to do that, that's absolutely okay. So because he has the right to do that, he is believed to say that the mum developed on its own by Maisa Behema. So the Gemara says, Ela Safek Bachar Rabbi Meir Mi Meyed Alav. Rather, Rabbi said, we're asking over here is in the case of Safek Bachar, in accordance with Rabbi Meir, does he have the ability to testify about it? V'chitema Hachanami De Lesle Takanta. Maybe you'll say over here, well, what is the other remedy? We'll say, right, what is the other possibility? So V'hatran, we learn Shir Rabbi Yossi Omer Kosha Chalifav Biat Koin. It's an interesting case. Any time that the coin has an exchange, if you look at Rashi, this is in Rashi in the wide lines, about 8 lines up from the bottom. Shechalifa biat coin can go in high safek bechar shakoin not less achav. But remember again, in the case of safek, so what happens? The owner keeps one, and the coin keeps one. Any case of also where there's a chalifin, where one of the animals is in the hands of the Kohen, partem in the matanos. Ultimately, again, when the Yisrael shechts his animal, he is not obligated to go ahead and give matanos on the animal to the Kohen. Reimer mechayv, Reimer says, Yor chayiv, she'elosh shmamina, bailin mi'idin alav. Rather, what do you see from here? The owners are in fact believed to testify regarding their animal. Kohanim hu dechashidi amumi, Yisrael lo chashidi amumi. There's only the Kohanim who are chashid ultimately to inflict mumin on the Bechar animal, but ultimately a Yisrael ultimately is not chashid to inflict a mum on the animal. So we'll say, so still halacha lamaisa, what do we do? Meaning Rabbi said, this is a major machlokas in terms of who has credibility to testify regarding a Bechar. See, here we go, let's just finish this. Itmar, Rav Nachman amr halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Nachman says that the halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel. But Rav Shimon Gamliel says, afilu bino afilu bito. Even one's own children are permitted to testify regarding the Bechar. Rava amar halacha Rabbi Yossi. Rava says the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi, who says that Rav Shimon Gamliel, even if 10 people show up, but they are part of my household, they are not believed. Rabbi Yossi says you need independent corroboration, independent edus. Umi amar Rava haki. Did Rava really say this? Va amar Rava ba'alav omeid imanu b'chutz. Nichnas shalem v'yatzachavo mi'idin alav. Rabbi Yossi says in halacha l'maisa, if the bechar went into the house shalem, right, whole, healthy, and it comes out of the house ultimately again with a mum, right, mi'idin alav, who is permitted to testify? Even the owner is permitted to testify. Ema kol bailim omdin v'lo chayshi. Ultimately, again, let's say that what's the case of Osai? That's only a case where all of the owners, i.e. everyone, all members of the household, were outside of the house at the time that the Bechar went in. Right? If everyone was outside of the house at the time that the Bechar went in, then what? We know no one from the household inflicted the blemish on the Bechar. Ihachi Maila Memra. If that's the case, so what's there to say? So Nechosh Lachashada. Maybe ultimately, again, we should be Choshesh. That maybe the roe, maybe the shepherd himself inflicted the mum. Kamash mala no. Kamash Rabbo said that that's not the case. V'holchusa k'Reb Shimon Gamliel. Rabbo said that halacha follows Reb Shimon Gamliel, who allows even the son and the daughter of the owner, to go ahead and testify regarding the bechar. V'dafka b'no ubito, but it's dafka son and daughter. Aval ishto lo, but not your wife. My taima ishto kegufo dami. Ultimately, again, because one's wife is like himself, and therefore halacha lemaisa, again, just like he does not have credibility, his wife does not have credibility. Beautiful Sheva Brachas Bart. Right? So let's finish this. I'm going to stop over here, but let me show you this quick halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins is very important. Again, although we're not finished with this, but I do want to give you just the concrete halacha. Shin Yodalit Sif Beis. Kol Hamumin Haru'uy and Lavo Bide Adam. I will say, as long as the mum looks like, right? So if a mum looks like, it could have been caused by a person. I guess there are certain types of mumin that are clearly naturally occurring. But there are other types of wound which could have been inflicted by a person. Ne'eman haroa aleim lomar, me elehem naflu velo nasu bikavana. So we'll say ultimately again, the Roeh, the shepherd, is believed to say this happened by itself, and therefore you could check based on that mum. When is that true? Kishahaya haroah Yisrael v'abechor biyat kohen. I will say, when is this true? This is true if the shepherd is a Yisrael and the owner was a kohen. Avalim haya haroah kohen v'abechor adayin hu biyat baal of Yisrael. Hareza einor neeman v'choshtin also shema hu hitel ba'mum kidei shiit nenalo. So both say, so therefore halacha l'maisa. So the Shulchan Aruch says like this. When do we say that the shepherd is believed? This is when it is a Yisrael shepherd and the animal belongs to a Kohen. But if the shepherd is a Kohen, then ultimately, again, the shepherd is not believed. Why? It must say makes sense. Because if the shepherd is a Kohen, there's a chashash, that's what? That he's giving this testimony because he's going to be the beneficiary of it. Because if it's a Bechor Baal Mum, then he hopes the Yisrael is going to give it to him and he'll be able to shecht it. So that's Halacha L'maisa, piece number one. So we're going to expand this. We're going to see that essentially, ultimately, again, if you have a Yisrael shepherd is believed for one simple reason. He has no reason to lie. A Kohen shepherd for a Yisrael is not really a Kohen who's shepherding for a Yisrael. A Kohen who works for a Yisrael is not believed. Why? Because halacha l'maisa, he has every reason to lie. Because if it's a Baal Mum, he's hopeful that he's going to get the animal. One more case. What about Kohen Shehayed L'Kohen? So I will say, so therefore, here's what we have. Kohen works for Yisrael. What's the halacha? Not believed. Yisrael works for a Kohen. Is believed. What about a Kohen who works for a Kohen? So there, in this case, the Shulchan Aruch says, Kohen Shehayed L'Kohen Acher, Shamumu Zed, Me'ilav Nafal Ne'aman. If a Kohen works for a Kohen and he testifies about the mum, he is also believed. Why? Because it will say, Bepashtos, he's not going to benefit from this. Who's going to benefit from it? The owner, right? There's already a Kohen owner. So essentially what comes out is, anytime we're Choshesh, that the shepherd will benefit from testifying that the mum occurred on its own, he is not believed. So therefore, again, one more time, Kohen, for right? Kohen shepherd, Yisrael owner, Eino Ne'eman. Yisrael shepherd, Kohen owner, Ne'eman. Kohen shepherd, Kohen owner, Ne'eman. We'll stop and we'll pick up here in Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow.